Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cheeseburger in paradise. 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour. All right, during the commercial break... Not to get sidetracked here because Rick Bucher doesn't have time for this nonsense, a very busy time, but during the commercial break, because I had texted Cornbread Maxwell during that segment,
yep.
Because I believe sweet potato pie is a side dish, Crowder believes it's dessert, and I'm telling you, the texts now on the text machine are coming in fast and furious against me. I think I might be on an island on this one. We thought it was cultural.
Yeah.
So we went to Cornbread Maxwell, who is always our decider on cultural issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted him during that segment, is sweet potato pie a dessert or a side dish? He texted back, dessert, man. So in the issue of racial equality, I texted Kim Bocamper, former Miami Dolphin and restaurateur.
Yeah, he knows food.
He knows food. He owns restaurants. I texted him during this past commercial break, is sweet potato pie a dessert or a side dish? And he has texted me back, dessert. And so I may be fighting a losing battle here, but I kind of feel like Rick Bucher might be my last and only hope.
Let's bring him on, then.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's our radio.com sports NBA insider, Rick Bucher. You see him all over FS1. You read his work at Bleacher Report. And so I got to start there. Sweet potato pie, Rick, dessert or side dish?
Throw that white flag up, champ.
Yeah, I've lost.
Yeah.
So you...
I'm not even sure what you were thinking. Side dish?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's the title of it? It's sweet potato. What?
But I mean, there is chicken pot pie,
no.
So you can't.
No.
No.
Oh, there's
pies that are not dessert, Rick. There's because at Thanksgiving at our house, you put the turkey and the stuffing and the green bean casserole and the sweet potato pie on your main plate. Desserts later.
I have no idea what the tradition is at your family, but that is just the weirdest thing I've had. I've had sweet potatoes, I've had yams, but sweet potato pie when I'm loading up on the green beans and the dressing and the stuffing and the turkey. Are you no? Goodness gracious, we need an intervention.
Yeah,
here.
There's something
seriously going wrong.
I guess I have to raise the white flag. I lose. I have to surrender on this, Rick.
You know what I like? I like you said, I might be losing this one. That was really, this might be a losing battle. You're 0 for whatever.
Wow.
You see what I'm dealing with, Rick?
Man, I...
Channing, you should get combat pay.
I don't understand what's happened here.
I'm going to the NBA Awards tonight, and I'm going to be distracted by, you know, I'm going to ask people when I'm there, have you ever heard of this? Can you imagine?
Pizza pie. That's not a dessert, Rick. Pizza pie is not a dessert. Shepherd's pie, not a dessert.
Here he goes.
All right, how many of those are sweet? How many of those are sweet?
Sweet corn. Sweet corn is not a dessert.
Goodness.
There you go. That's going to be a side dish.
Sweet corn pie. I'm talking about pie. How many of those are sweet pies?
Huh. Yeah.
I really don't want to give this up. I don't want to take
the L,
obviously.
Clearly.
But I think I've been presented too many situations.
Just take it.
All right. I will admit that I have presented a losing argument on this one, and
thank you, Rick.
Crowder is right.
This is like Ryan Hollins, who I do a podcast with, saying that LeBron James is the greatest player of all time, and we've struggled with when we look at the width and breadth and the argument that he's made, and there's a lot that that Ryan and I agree on. And I don't know where you guys are, but he is holding on to that. He had the argument with Shaq, who Shaq nearly did a spit take when he heard that.
Because Shaq believes MJ, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan won't let go. And I thought, I've never seen or heard of anyone so stubborn in my life, but now I have.
Well,
congratulations.
Here's the thing.
Oh, he's going back now.
If you go to Cracker Barrel, Rick,
goodness.
I think if you go to Cracker Barrel, I don't think sweet potato pie is on the dessert menu. I think it's on the side dish menu.
Okay. Did you say Cracker Barrel?
I said Cracker Barrel, sure.
That's where you're taking your expertise when it comes to
I'm giving you examples.
You're getting your culinary tips.
I mean, listen,
am I hearing this correctly?
They have a delicious hash brown casserole. I don't want you to hate on the Cracker Barrel hash brown casserole. Let's not do that. I've got no legs to stand on here. Rick Bucher
Next thing you're going to tell me about the chef at Waffle House.
Listen, smothered and covered, Rick. Let's not dismiss some of the best breakfast joints around.
His signature dish, yes.
Rick Bucher, he is our radio.com sports NBA insider. You're going to the NBA Awards tonight, you just mentioned?
I am.
Do they do it wrong?
I'm annoying the hell out of my Uber driver right now. Talking to you guys,
you're gonna get a low rating.
On my way there.
Do they do it wrong by having these awards so late?
I'm gonna give him 6 stars for putting up with this.
Do they do it so like? Ask him what he thinks about sweet potato pie. Ask him if it's a dessert or a side.
Okay, hold on just a second. Sweet potato pie, side dish or dessert? Dessert.
It sounded like side dish to me. I couldn't hear very well.
It sounded like that to you.
Do you want to share with us his ethnicity, or is that beyond the scope of this conversation?
What else do I see to ask you?
Nothing. I'm just teasing.
I'm not asking him anything else.
The NBA Awards. Do they do it wrong by having it this late?
For sure. No question about it. Because, look, we're looking at these now through the prism of the playoffs, not even the playoffs. I mean, everybody's kind of forgotten the season. It's so anticlimactic at this point. I get where announcing them, you know, right before a game and then having a guy play, I don't know that that's the ideal, because you win MVP, you win any of those awards, and it's going to screw you up in that playoff game that night. But there are plenty of off days that they can do it on. And to me, this is a grab to create an event for TV, to sell, you know, sell advertising and make money off of it. But I really believe it's a disservice to the award and to the guys receiving it and the fans, quite honestly, because we're colored by what we've seen these guys do and not do in the playoffs. And for people who voted on it, like myself, we didn't have the benefit of seeing them in the playoffs. And no, I don't agree that we should have these, that the playoffs should count, because then you have guys that that should win awards, maybe they're not on the best of teams, and they are now going to be at a discount simply because they're not on a team good enough to get to the playoffs.
And Rick, I knew you had a vote. I don't know. I think I saw it on Twitter or something, but I knew you had a vote. Is there anybody that you don't know, or any, I would say, category that you're up for grabs tonight that you don't know who's going to win Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player, MVP, or is it pretty much locked in? Because I think I pretty much know who's going to win every category.
I'm curious to see how MVP plays out. There was a point at which I would have told you it's James Harden, and I voted for James Harden. But there was a real groundswell at the end for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so I'll be curious to see how that plays out. I honestly, if I'm betting right now, I would say that Giannis wins it. Some of it also depends on just when did guys vote, because you have a little bit of leeway. You don't do it right after the season. You get the ballots like with, I don't know, a week and a half or so to go at the end of the regular season. So depending on whether guys voted early or late, that could have an influence.
Rick Bucher is with us. You said something about Kevin Durant I saw a few days ago where he wasn't thrilled with what happened at Golden State. Is there any kind of decision, do you know, from his camp? Do you think that they're leaning a certain way?
I have not heard definitive. I mean, going back a couple months, I was hearing that he was going to the Knicks. Since the injury, how that plays into things. And I've also been told whatever KD is firm on right now, he's going to change his mind 25 times before he makes a decision. So there is that element. But I do know that he's met with Kyrie a couple times, and they've talked about playing together and continuing their careers together beginning next season. And so that leads me to believe that he was already planning to leave, since I never got any indication or that there was ever the ability for the two of them to play with the Warriors. So I also know that there were people in his camp who were telling him, this is a risk not worth taking to play on this injury. And that there was a feeling that the Warriors could have handled it a different way as far as his availability in the finals. They're saying continually, yeah, he's we expect him back, or he's going to play. That innuendo put pressure on him to come back and play. And so I however many people talk to him about whether he should or he shouldn't play, the fact of the matter is he got bad advice. He suffered an injury that if he was told the same thing Steve Kerr was, which was he couldn't suffer, he couldn't hurt himself worse by playing, that can't possibly put him on better ground with the Warriors than he already was. And if he was already looking out the door, I don't see how this convinces him to come back.
But Rick, he's not going to take, his emotion behind, his injury, how they dealt with him, to not sign that 5-year Supermax, because they're the only team that can give him that 5-year Supermax.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, we've seen other guys pass up the Supermax, and with all the business interests that KD has and all the things that he has going on off the court and what he would be able to make in New York off the court, that additional money is really, I don't think it's a determining factor. They put that in place, the Supermax in place, to convince guys to stay. And the reality is we've seen plenty of guys who have opted to go elsewhere anyway. So I'm just not, and particularly with KD, with all the things that he has going on, I'm not convinced that that's going to be a determining factor for him.
Rick Bucher is with us, our radio.com sports NBA insider, and you see him all over FS1 all the time, and he's in an Uber right now headed to the NBA Awards, and we appreciate your time. What about Kawhi, quickly? You think Kawhi leaves, stays?
I've heard a multitude of things. I'm told that the Raptors have a fighting chance to keep him. Every indication I've had is between the Clippers and the Raptors. That said, I've also been told that the Lakers think they have a fighting chance, or at least they have a shot at being able to get him. And I know that the Knicks have said that they expect that they're going to get a chance to meet with him. But Kawhi is the most difficult one to read in all of this, which makes everything else a little challenging, because to me, he's the first domino that drops. KD would have been if he didn't get injured. But now that he's injured, Kawhi Leonard is really the guy that probably has the widest field of suitors.
It's hard to read him because he's an alien, Rick. That's why y'all don't know what's going on with Kawhi.
I bet he eats sweet potato pie as a side dish.
He eats it as an entree.
He might be my ally.
You know
that's
what?
Breakfast
Actually,
cereal.
He might be your ally, because on his planet, it might be a side dish. But on this planet, no.
And Rick, last one out of me. What happened with Danny Ainge and the Celtics' plans? It looked so good until about 2 months ago. Month ago, hell.
Yeah, well, look, there were issues from the very beginning, and it goes back to you had young guys who accomplished an awful lot on their own, and then they had to make way for Gordon Hayward and for Kyrie Irving. And these are guys that are on the precipice of making some money, but they need playing time in order to be able to do it. So I just, it was going to be a chemistry issue from the very beginning. It was going to have to be worked out. You're going to have guys that were willing to take their agendas and put them to the side for the benefit of the team. And ultimately, they couldn't get that done. And so I looked at them, and on paper, they were the best team. And it is disappointing to see that those guys couldn't put their agendas aside. And we've seen it with other teams. You know, talent doesn't get you there alone. But the fact that I think we were all expecting at the end of the year for all of them to say, okay, you know, we've groused and we've been struggled with our roles, but now it's time to win and get this thing done. And even then, they couldn't ultimately get it done. And the real question is going to be, with Kyrie and Al Horford out the door, like, what are they now? Can they recapture any of that magic from a year ago? It's going to be on Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier to take another step forward, because they caught everybody off guard the season before this last one. Can they do it again now that people know what they're capable of? That's going to be the question.
Rick Bucher, you see him on FS1. Again, our radio.com sports NBA insider. Have you reached your destination?
I have, actually, yeah. Pulled up right in front. We're out here at the Baker Hangar. It is not nearly as hot as it was last year, so now I'm going to grab my credentials and find the red carpet and start asking people. Sweet potato pie.
I want you to get back to us if you find anyone, because I feel...
If I find a single person, I'm going to personally give them your email address and your phone number so you guys can start a club.
Yeah, I feel just, like, defeated. I don't know how else to, you know, I'm just...
Wait. You feel like you're defeated. You've been defeated. This hesitation.
I feel there's a little bit of time left in this.
No, there's no window.
Would you acknowledge a sweet potato is a vegetable?
Oh God, here we go.
Will you acknowledge that a sweet potato is a vegetable?
Yes, a sweet potato is a vegetable.
Okay. Enjoy the NBA awards, Rick Bucher. I think we may have found some room for maneuvering.
Some common ground.
See you, Rick. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Rick Bucher there. I see a little daylight.
I just like that Rick feels my pain. I enjoy just him feeling my pain.
He said you should get combat pay for what you do. All right, I'll take the L on that one. Sweet potato pie is a dessert, not a side dish. Reluctantly. Just to bring it to closure.
Yeah.
I reluctantly.
We'll get a text tonight, Solana.
Oh, I'm going to find someone in my phone.
We'll get a text tonight.
Oh, trust me. Tomorrow, four guests that believe sweet potato pie is a side dish. Three of them might be paid for their opinion.
You're cheap.
Gino Toretta is going to join us next. Gino Toretta, we had him on because Paradise Camp was this weekend at the University of Miami. Now, that's something that Miami fans can crow about.
Yes.
And people texting in, it's not a vegetable either. Yes, it is. It's a vegetable. It's a tuber or a legume or whatever. But
not a vegetable. If it's
a tuber. It is a vegetable, though.
But a tuber.
I think theoretically it's a vegetable.
In whose theory? Yours?
I think a tuber is a vegetable.
Oh, goodness.
You know about this stuff?
Solana, call HR for me.
Tuber.
Tell him he's up here picking on me.
A much thickened underground part of a stem in the potato, serving as a food reserve bearing buds from the new mills.
It's just a root. It's a root vegetable.
Huh?
Did you see the word vegetable on any of those descriptions?
Yeah, I think I did.
Not what you read.
I think somewhere I did. Well, anyway, I'm taking the defeat on this reluctantly. Gino Toretta, though, we want to celebrate Paradise Camp. University of Miami's Paradise Camp. And Gino was there. And he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And he's going to come on with us. We're going to forget the sweet potato pie thing ever. I hit you all with the neuralizer. Bloop. Like Men in Black. You don't even remember.
Man?
What's happening, man?
What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. What time is it? We're almost done.
Gino Toretta is next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Now, being told that Gino Toretta chose this song, I've told, you know, Alejandro, I want all songs about paradise because of these paradise, this paradise camp that University of Miami had. Now, I don't believe you, Alejandro. I don't believe that Gino chose this particular song.
Who is this?
This is Lil Uzi Vert.
Nah, Gino don't know about no damn.
Because if he was
going to
choose a paradise song, it would be maybe Gangster's Paradise,
okay.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, Meatloaf.
Don't believe me.
All right, well, let me go. Let me go talk with Gino.
Gino and Lil Uzi Vert.
There's no chance.
Lil.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Gino Toretta. The former Heisman Trophy winner. Did you choose this song, Gino?
Well, I just stopped laughing, and that was my response when I was asked the question. So, I didn't.
Of course not. Yeah. Rockin' the Paradise by Styx, right? I know what your musical style is.
No, I'm fine with it all. I was just started laughing because I was like, no idea.
Yeah.
No idea who's behind curtain number two.
Oh, and it's Lil Uzi Vert.
I was gonna say, behind curtain number two is Lil Uzi Vert. Gino Toretta. Now, this UM Paradise Camp. I was just saying to Crowder, like that. This is so unique.
Yeah.
First of all, the name Paradise Camp is great, right? Like everything about it. But this is the first one with Manny Diaz as the head coach. So can you tell us, you were there. Can you tell us a little bit like what it was like?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're a kid and I believe the camps are free and they're, you know, I don't know, they had 160 people walk, you know, recruits and high school kids walk up, you know, and register for the camp. And then, you know, you get an opportunity to you know, listen to current players, former players, the coaches, you know, and like I told the quarterbacks, I mean, if you can just learn one thing, and Michael Irvin said it best, he goes, you know, take what you learn and put it in your toolbox. Because to become a better player from when you're a freshman or high school or even in seventh, eighth grade is you have to just learn little bits and pieces. And I told the quarterbacks, I go, write down the stuff. And you might not get it right now, but just, you know, put it in your toolbox. And when you get it, then you can, you know, go out there. And it's what you do when we're not out here coaching you to you know, helps you get to the next level. But, no, it's awesome. Obviously, as a former player to you know, be around guys I played with, guys I played after or before. You know, and kind of, you know, just hear the stories of Rohan Marley was kind of holding court of his recruiting visit of the former players was pretty funny before camp.
It sounds like you can't share.
Well, so Donnell Bennett, who was a running back after me, one of my running backs, so he goes, they asked me to host Rohan. And they didn't tell me his last name, nothing. They just said, his name's Rohan. He's like, oh, okay. So he goes back, and that was back when we had football dorms. It was building 36. And he goes, I'm sitting in my room, building 36. And he goes, all of a sudden, there's a knock at my door. Rohan Marley opens the door. He goes, are you ready to go? The recruit is asking his host, who's a current player, are you ready to go? And, oh, by the way, he showed up in, like, a GMC Typhoon. This would have been in the late 80s. You know what I mean? Like you know, a kid with a, you know, $50,000 tricked-out car showing up to the current player and say, hey, you ready to go? Come on, let's go. We're going.
I mean, that's Crowder's dream recruit.
I love him.
Heck yeah. Wouldn't spend that $40. I'm with you, Crowder.
I had Willie Williams was my craziest recruit, and he was kind of like that, Gino. But, Gino, I got to ask you, man, I'm 100% transparency, Gino. I'm a hater because I'm a Gator. This Paradise Camp, it sounds too cool. Y'all are stealing our guys. Are y'all really trying to evaluate the kids, or y'all trying to impress the kids? Because Paradise Camp sounds like you're shooting your shot at these young men.
Well, I mean, is there a difference? Yeah, you're trying to impress them with obviously the championships and the Hall of Famers and the guys that ran through there, and then you're evaluating. And I think the best thing Manny did was he said, "Listen, we're not doing height, weight, 40 time. you're going to go out there, learn some of the fundamentals and some plays, and then you're going to compete, whether it's one-on-one and seven-on-seven for the skill guys, and you see how guys perform. And you know, the guy, kids were out there showing out. I mean, there were some impressive dudes. I mean, the tight end, I don't know the tight end's name, but everybody in America is on him from Las Vegas. This dude made Jeremy Shockey, like he dwarfed Shockey. And I had a couple quarterbacks, and they go, is that guy still in high school? And I go, yes, he's going to be his senior. I mean, he was six. He reminded me of like somebody that's Bryant McKinney size in high school. God. I mean, he was like 6'6", 6'7", you know, maybe even bigger than that, a legit probably 260 and ripped. And he wanted to take every rep against anybody that was coming at him.
Man, that's the that's the swagger that we like. I was Gino Toretta is with us. I was reading from Christy Cabrera Chirinos in the Sun Sentinel. She had listed some of the people that were at the Paradise Camp. So you were there: Alonzo Highsmith, David Njoku, Jaquan Johnson, Sheldrick Redwine was there. Travis Homer, she said, was there. So, and there were more than that, huh?
Oh yeah, Herndon. Randall Hill was there. Shockey. Sapp was there. I mean, it was legit. I mean, the guys that were there, and you know, you have about, you know, a few hours to kind of impart your wisdom on them and see how they perform when they take some reps. So that's always fun.
I would imagine, like, younger guys though, like Jeremy Shockey probably is impressive because that's a name they probably played on video games, right? But like Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith, no knock on you, I'm your age, but does it have the same cachet?
They had NC2A Madden when I was in school, didn't they? Hell, I'm still on some games.
I think it was on Atari 2600.
Hey, don't be sleeping. I got a check from them sons of bitches for not paying me up for that game.
I think Crowder got that check too.
It wasn't a huge check, Gino, but it was a check.
Hey, exactly. If it's free, give me two of those checks.
But they impressed by you? Like, are they impressed by Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith and guys maybe they didn't watch?
Well, I mean, I think when you tell somebody you won the Heisman Trophy, I think that's an impressive accomplishment.
That's a pretty good calling card. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I think it's funny because I think a few years ago when we first did this, they basically said, okay, introduce yourself. And I'm like, what? You don't have an MC to introduce all these guys? So we had to, you know, get a microphone, or we did it without a microphone because it was outside in Green Tree. But this time we had a microphone. I wanted to introduce myself as Gino Toretta, zero-star recruit, told not to come here, 26-2 starting record as a quarterback, two titles, and 1992 national champion or an Heisman Trophy winner, and walk off the stage.
See, no one can introduce you better than you can introduce you.
That's awesome.
What do you think is more impressive to high school athletes today, Gino Toretta and him having been a Heisman Trophy winner, or Rohan Marley being the son of Bob Marley?
Oh, there's no doubt, Rohan Marley.
Yeah, because you had a better collegiate football career, but Bob Marley's his dad.
The Rohan Marley stories, I mean, I could go on and on. Well, his freshman year when he showed up at Two Days, and, you know, he was a younger kid, so the rookies were in before the veterans. I roll in, he's got a brick cell phone, and I'm like, who in the hell is this kid? And they're like, oh, that's Rohan Marley. I'm like, who? And they're like, Bob Marley's kid. And I'm like, and then every dude on the team that didn't live in Miami, they were borrowing his cell phone to churn up minutes for long distance calls, for free long distance calls when he was a freshman.
So that dude as a freshman had the Marley money at his access.
Dude, he came to football camp, and I still remember this, he came to football camp when he was in high school. He checked in. Now, Hawk, you remember big screen TVs back in our day?
That was called Team Lift when you got out of the store.
You had to call a furniture mover to move your TV, right?
Yep.
He checked in to the towers as a camper, for an overnight camper for a week, with like a 50-inch TV screen, all his Sega Genesis, He had to give them his car keys. He had a GMC kitted out Typhoon car, like a SUV. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, he had better stuff than anybody that was a current student.
That's unbelievable. And he was able to relate to everybody, right? Like he was a man of means, but
he was relentless on a field. I mean, hard worker. Never slowed down. I mean, it's one thing to have the means, but when you go out and run down on kickoffs as a freshman and like a crazed dog. I mean, he was awesome to play with. We're still good buddies. He's fun.
And talking about that, like the UM way, because I want to talk about it. Saying you hit it on the earlier. Where did you see guys that were talented? But then you saw guys that were talented and UM-type players with that swag. Like the tight end made me think about it, where you said he walk up and whoever lined up in front of him, he was going to beat him. Like, can you see a UM player with a talented non-UM player? Could you see the difference?
Yeah, I think, I think like Michael Irvin said in his speech, he goes, listen, we told your mom, your dad, your sister, brother, niece, nephew, cousin we were going to beat you. And we were going to have fun doing it. And I think that's what, we equate to the swag, was going out there and just going, listen, we're going to run the ball right here, and we don't care if you know what we're going to do. We're still going to beat you doing it. And I think that there was guys out there. They were competing. They were talking. I mean, I love it. I was talking smack to Randall Hill. I was like, Randall, come on. I can out-throw you now. I mean, you see how much weight you've put on? And Ja'Cory goes, man, I love you, Gino. You're still talking crap. I'm like, why not, man? This is what it's all about. So, yes, you could tell. And Channing, when you've hosted guys that, let's say a guy from the Midwest, great player, may not have the kind of attitude that you're like, dude, this guy's never going to survive at Miami or Florida or one of these schools. He's going somewhere in the Midwest. He's not coming down here.
Oh, no, Gene, it was funny because I brought up Willie Williams earlier, and when I hosted him at UF, and it's a long story, he got arrested. It's a whole nother thing. We need another 30 minutes to tell the Willie Williams story.
That was your last hosting visit when you got a recruit arrested. Yeah. Even at Christmas.
Charlie Strong cussed me out. He let me have it. But Willie Williams looked me in my eyes, and he was like, they're recruiting me to play middle linebacker. And I kind of looked back at him. And I was like, Willie, I play middle linebacker. You're going to start over me? And he kind of shrugged his shoulders. That's that Miami thought. That's that process that Miami guys have.
Yeah, it was exactly why I'm here.
I'm here to play middle linebacker.
At UM back in that day and at Florida when you were there, because you've told me about meeting at the Gator and whatnot in the locker room, like you're being thrown into something where you've got to be able to handle your business.
Yeah, I mean, but I think – when you have a top-flight program and you're competitive, you're not giving anything to any of these kids. Like I told them, listen, you can't script your next 5 years if you're, a senior going into your last year. I'm like, hell, if the transfer portal when I was in school was around, I probably would have tried to transfer out of Miami too. I mean, as a redshirt freshman, Craig Erickson gets hurt. I start 4 games, break the school record for passing. And I'm like, man, I got this game whipped. I can play anywhere in the country. And if I had that option, that's why you got to tell these kids. It's like they all think the grass is greener where on the other side, wherever that is, whether that's Miami, Florida, or whatever. It's like pick your place you want to go compete. And sometimes even if guys don't get a chance to start much in college, they get a chance and they blossom at the next level. So it's just all about going somewhere and competing.
Gino Toretta, so tell us, Hurricanes fans are excited. It's the first season under Manny Diaz. Did this Paradise Camp feel any different than it did, in the past?
Well, I think it was similar. I think, Mark started it off right and got, guys, involved. I think the best part of what they did was moving it back to June, and they got a lot of the current active NFL guys. Because before the time frame they had it, the active guys were in mini camps and OTAs and stuff, and there wasn't a lot of active players. But to have Joku and Herndon from the Jets and all the kids that got drafted this year, and literally Duke Johnson and literally just listen, the best thing Michael Irvin said, he goes, listen, you come here and you lose, you have to answer to these guys. And he pointed to all of us because that's how it was. It was like if you lost, you did not want to talk to any of the alumni players because they were like, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Hey, Gino, take all your Kane bias, your Heisman Trophy. I know it's hard to put that aside.
National championship.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
You
I jumped the gun. Are you okay
over there? Gino, I haven't been down since the new facilities, the indoor facilities are built, and I know you go around.
Better than anything in Gainesville.
Don't listen to him, Gino. Answer my question, Gino.
I'm sorry.
Are the Canes caught up? Are y'all right on par with the weight room, the inside facilities? Are y'all right on par with all those top five conferences now?
Yes, I mean facility wise, they got everything that you need and then some. I think to me, Crowder, is when Miami, Florida State, and Florida are dominant. I don't think you're practicing inside. And listen, I'm adamant. You got to be out on that grass and you got to be sweating your know what off. And I mean, I can remember weigh-ins before practice and weigh-ins after practice. It was 6 pound minimum of sweat you were losing at practice. And if you're not doing that now, you lose some of your advantage when you get to the fall and playing games. Now, the best part is, you know, when I played, they sure as hell didn't have no lightning warning things because there was lightning. I swear to God, it struck right in the canal, right next to our practice field. So, but now you have that, so you got to be able to go inside when the weather gets bad, you know, and lightning's in the area. So I think that's what you need the indoor facility for down here. And you know, listen, you hang up banners, and like Hawk said, they don't know, you know, 30 years ago when I played and what I accomplished. You know, they know the guys that are there now, but they hang up banners and all that fun stuff. So I think that, you know, it serves a purpose, but to me, you get your real work done outside in the heat and humidity down here.
Gino Toretta, someone texted in, took issue with the fact that I introduced you as the former Heisman Trophy winner. Said when you win a Heisman Trophy.
I tell you that every time.
I know.
There's only one former winner. I think it's Reggie Bush. But
so if they take your Heisman, you're a former winner. But if, as long as you get to keep it, you're a Heisman Trophy winner. It makes sense, right?
Well, if you were deemed ineligible, yes, I believe that.
I'm sure if they did a little digging on you, Gino, they'd take that trophy back as well.
I say
that with the pride of being a Hurricane graduate, I think.
My statute of limitations on NCAA rules is way, way long gone.
Where do you have that Heisman Trophy? Where is it?
It's on the bookcase.
Does anyone come to your house and not know what that is?
No. No. I bought a Peloton bike the other day for my wife for a present, and the kids are setting up the bike, and the guy looks up the hall and he goes, and he looks at me kind of cross-eyed. He goes, "Is that a Heisman Trophy?" Oh yeah.
He was probably 23, 24 years old. Didn't know what the hell was going on.
Because that's probably one of the most recognizable trophies on the planet, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll give you a quick story. The best is after 9/11 when they started X-raying all the bags. So I have a hard-sided container. It's foam-filled. I can put the trophy in there, and I can check it as luggage to take it with me somewhere if I'm going to do an appearance or something like that or something for a charity, right? So in old Fort Lauderdale Airport, they had an X-ray machine, Hawk. Do you remember this? Like right when you stepped inside the door,
yep.
You would check your bag, and you would have to stand there,
yep.
And they would X-ray your bag as you stood there, right? So I still remember flying out of Fort Lauderdale. Guy puts the case up there. Now, the case and trophy 70 pounds.
It comes with a case, by the way, or did you have to go out and get a separate? Like, do they give you the trophy with a case?
Somebody that makes them, you know. But
is that an upcharge when you win the Heisman? Is the case an upcharge?
It's a charge.
We're focusing on the stupid stuff. That's
the moniker for this show.
Stop focusing on the stupid stuff.
Well, but no, that would be interesting though if you win a Heisman Trophy and then you're leaving with it, and they're like, also you might need a travel case for it. It's $480.
Well, one, I didn't. You know, you don't get the case until after because Eddie George, if you might recall, he checked his trophy as luggage. In 1994, and it went through the X-ray machine and got stuck, and it came out with the middle finger. So you, it had bent two of the fingers, so it looked like his trophy was flipping everybody off. So he had to get another one. But back to my story. So the guy sitting there running the X-ray, and this would have been probably 93. I don't know. You know, after 9/11. So I'm standing there, and the guy, I'm watching the guy with the X-ray thing with the belt. And he's like, and the case goes in. He stops it, goes forward a little bit, goes back a little bit. Then he, like, leans out so he can not see the screen, and he can look at me, right? And he's, like, looking at me, and he's looking at the trophy. He's looking at me. He's looking at the trophy. And then he goes, "Hey, Joe, Jim, come on. We got to open up this case. We got to look at, we got extra security look at the Heisman." I mean, it's absolutely hilarious.
It's funny, like, because you can imagine the X-ray visual on that. It looks exactly like a Heisman trophy, and then he recognizes you.
But I don't know if he recognized me. I think he was thinking, like, who's this white boy? Why do you have a Heisman trophy with this case? You know, I was like, who is this clown?
This doesn't look like Reggie Bush.
Thought you stole it.
So you don't know if you had to buy the case? It just came with the case?
I think I did buy the case.
Oh, you did? Okay. Can you put other stuff in there, or is it only for transporting the Heisman?
No, it's got enough foam. It's like cut foam and injected foam to where you have to jam it in there.
I got you.
Can you imagine checking it as luggage? The thing's going to, you know, bounce around. Yeah, you can't put anything else in there.
Yeah, you can't let that out of your sight.
Every time I go somewhere and I bring the trophy, you know those little papers they put in your bags when the TSA actually checks your bags?
Yeah.
Which happens every so often. 100% of the time that case is open.
Right.
And a slip is put in there.
They alert you that it was actually checked by hand. But who wouldn't want to look through the Heisman Trophy luggage?
I'm shocked I haven't seen pictures, like, on social media. Like, hey, look what we just had roll through, Raleigh-Durham Airport today.
Yeah.
It'd kind of be genius to get a Heisman Trophy replica and put cocaine inside and ship it. To be honest, Gino, I'm just spitballing
well,
here.
Well, he's already got the case.
I don't know, but that would be bad, Channing. See, that's
oh, right, yeah, they're going to check
because,
that. Right,
you know,
right.
It's going to get looked at.
Right,
it's
going right.
to get opened and scrutinized.
Hmm. Right, yeah, they're
probably,
looking. Yeah,
probably not
yeah.
the best thing
there's,
to
there's
do,
your
so.
Florida Gator education. That's
now,
why he spent nights in jail.
Sorry, I can't
now,
traffic
now
drugs.
Channing's not a drug dealer.
Oh, they catch me in 3 days. What is that, Mr. Crowder? I don't know. We're all fine. Let me go.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner and proud participant at Paradise Camp. We're excited. August 24th. That's when it all starts, Gino.
I'm looking forward to it.
Any chance Miami's going to beat Florida?
Any chance? Hell yeah, there's a chance. Why, like, wouldn't there be a chance?
How good a chance?
Huh?
How big a boy are you? How good a chance?
What are you trying to figure out how much you're going to bet Crowder right now?
Yeah, well, we've been back and forth on this thing, man.
And Gino, I would just let you know, if you're putting some money up, just come on and call me. Don't worry about any bookies. I'm taking bets.
He is riding that Gators, man. He is certain.
Don't be that guy, Channing. I had some friends that thought they could be bookies too, because bookies always win, and they got cleaned out.
Yeah.
I'm just doing 1 week, Gino. One game this year. I'm going to take the book.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. Thank you, Gino.
See you guys.
All right. I absolutely love that. Perfect moniker for this show.
We have to get that quote.
Focus. Stop focusing on the stupid stuff. It's all I do. It's how my head works.
We have to have that
quote. He could
quote.
Not have encapsulated the show any better than with that one angry outburst. Stop focusing on the stupid stuff. All right, quick break for us, and we'll come back after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Somebody texted in, "You lazy asses, I was in the car earlier and heard this interview. Now it's on again? Come on, guys, you only work 4 hours. Now you want to repeat stuff?" I texted him back, "Maybe you're the lazy ass sitting in your car all day."
Toho!
Boom.
You got him with that one.
Jamie Eisenberg, the fantasy football guru from CBS Sports, has texted me back. He believes sweet potato pie is a side dish. So I'm back, baby.
Ah, he doesn't know. He's thin. Jamie Eisenberg weighs 93 pounds.
Tree, our engineer outside, he said sweet potato pie is a bad dessert, which if you extrapolate that out, he's correct. Bad dessert, great side dish.
Extrapolate it out that
yeah,
way?
Yeah, extrapolate it out.
He must not have had no nutmeg. You gotta put that nutmeg. You got to.
We went very long in the last two segments because Rick Bucher was on with us at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to you by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery, Funky Buddha Happy Hour. We went very long with Rick Bucher talking NBA and sweet potato pie. And then we went long with Gino Toretta just there, but that was fun, the Rohan Marley stories and whatnot. So everything got a little convoluted this hour. And Greg Likens and Danny Q, they are waiting patiently to get on the air at 6 o'clock. And so we're running so late that we're going to go now, and it'll just be a short segment to end the program. What else are you going to do?
Can't beat it. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
That's right. We'll see y'all tomorrow. If you missed any of the interviews, Rick Bucher happened to be excellent. Gino Toretta is always excellent. Both those interviews we posted at WQAM.com. Upon completion of the program, which is right about now, we will speak with you mañana.
We don't want Woody Allen.
But is that an upcharge when you win the Heisman? Is the case an upcharge?
It's a charge.
We're focusing on the stupid stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.